Welcome back, beautiful souls, to our 34th episode of Spirituality with Kiyun. In the previous talk, I spoke about my first trip to India, a land that holds a special place in my heart. Today, I want to share with you how I learned to enjoy solitude and found inner happiness while living at an ashram. After leaving Mother India, like a true vagabond, I went off to explore Southeast Asia, spending a few blissful months, mainly in Thailand, which really captured my spirit in this country, where it is sweet, gentle souls and their serene way of life. The atmosphere was perfectly encapsulated by their popular saying, sabai, sabai, which means relax and comfortable. My experience was a blend of familiarity and uniqueness, a beautiful harmony of same, same, but different, if you know what I mean. During my time in this super friendly country, I had the privilege of engaging in karma yoga, a practice of offering selfless service or volunteer work, which allowed me to contribute my time and effort to various meaningful endeavors. From nurturing and strolling with these powerful yet gentle elephants at an eco-friendly and sustainable elephant camp, to imparting the gift of English to a class of wise and humble young monks, and then tending to the needs of precious orphans, each pursuit brought me valuable lessons and immense fulfillment. To deepen my understanding in the arts of yoga, meditation, Eastern medicine, and Thai massage, I enrolled in a few month-long intensive training courses. It was a profound experience to immerse myself in these ancient practices, expanding my knowledge and taking what I've learned into my everyday life. I remember my meditation teacher in Thailand always reminded us that the practice begins when we're off the cushion. I love being in a new country, exploring the place, connecting with their people and learning about their culture, tasting the local food and trying, but terribly failing at picking up their language. In truth, I have yet to encounter a place that left me feeling bored or eager to leave. No matter where I find myself, I think I possess an inherent adaptability that allows me to cultivate a sense of belonging and make any place my own. However, I have come to realize that home extends far beyond the mere physical space. While shelter provides a sense of security, I feel most comfortable and content when I'm surrounded by the people I love and care about, or engage in activities and environments that bring me profound happiness and purpose. Home is really where the heart is. I also feel that if we're happy and comfortable with our own company, we could really be anywhere. Wayne Dyer says, "You can't be lonely if you like the person you're alone with." I think many yogis, introverts, and spiritual seekers can agree that the most important relationship we will ever have is a relationship with ourselves. It's quite a drastic change for me because back in university and when I first started working, I wouldn't even dine out by myself. Forget traveling across the globe alone. That being said, I must also confess that I do love being in the presence of my beautiful family and friends, especially during the holidays season. That's why I usually return home for Christmas, seeking warmth and togetherness with loved ones despite the cold winters in New York City. After immersing myself in a period of self-discovery and self-exploration in Asia, it was time to go home towards the end of the year. I also planned a trip to travel to the Caribbean with my girlfriends. We usually go there to escape the winter blues, soak up some vitamin D and C, SCA, and catch a nice tan during the cold months. In case you're not familiar, the Caribbean are a cluster of beautiful gems situated in between North and South America. It's one of my favorite places. And there are about 26 of these islands, and I've probably been to more than half of them. I love the super chill and laid-back Caribbean island vibe. The locals radiate this infectious joy and contagious smile. Of course, I love sunbathing in their clear turquoise water beaches and ziplining through their most scenic views across land and sea. And then there's nothing like surrendering to the rhythm of the music and dancing the night away under the starlit sky. It's really the perfect vacation spot for Americans who want a long weekend getaway. And much like how many people in Asia fly to Phuket or Koh Samui in Thailand, and Bali in Indonesia, or Boracay in the Philippines every other weekend. However, this time around, while creating memories on a fun-filled trip to the breathtaking Virgin Islands with my girls, something felt different. Yet amidst the laughter and the joy, a subtle shift occurred within me. It was as if a whisper from the depths of my soul called me toward something more profound, something beyond the realms of material happiness. And so after enjoying the precious moments spent at home and basking in the love of my friends and family, I felt an undeniable yearning to embark on another solo voyage. Can you guess where my heart led me to again? Yes, back to Mother India. And this time I ventured to the southern part of the country, grateful for the break from the winter chill that embraced the other areas. The timing and place right after the new year was fortunate, saving me from the cold of the north. While I admire those brave souls who welcome the cold, like the practitioners of Wim Hof, who fearlessly immerse themselves in ice baths and practice breathing exercise amidst the snowy mountains without clothing, I must confess that I have yet to learn how to endure such extreme conditions. And the other day, I also watched a reel of a yogi who was spotted by an Indian army. He was chanting the mantra Om Namah Shivaya, which is a mantra that helps us destroy negative qualities, facilitating our transformation for the better. He was in the Himalayas, in negative 50 degrees Celsius temperature, with pretty much no clothing on, but a dhoti, which is a lightweight fabric that wraps around the waist and the upper leg. I was speechless. Well, I do believe yogis can really develop supernatural powers. And the truth is that even with my regular pranayama or breathing practice, which can generate considerable internal heat, I am pretty sure that I would not do well in such endeavors. The thought of attempting such a challenge leaves me pondering the number of rounds of Kapalabhati breathing exercise I would need to complete first. So yes, it was a delight to bask in the warmth and sunshine of India's tropical weather during the winter. During my second journey to this magical land, I chose to settle down in the serenity of an ashram, learning to live a life of simplicity. It was a huge shift from the bustling materiality of big cities, for example, Hong Kong, where I hold spiritual retreats these days. My teacher would often refer to Hong Kong as the epitome of Maya, or the world of material illusions. Sometimes my students would express their disappointment at the more modest accommodations, which in truth were quite luxurious compared to the humble abodes I stayed at in India. There's always a couple of them who would suggest hosting one of our retreats in India. While inside, I'm contemplating their reaction to the extremely simple living appeal of the ashrams. At the ashram I stayed at in Madurai, India, we all reside in an open space beneath a hut, where more than 50 beds were nestled side by side. The only division between us was a delicate mosquito net, offering some kind of privacy. Even for myself, it was a huge contrast to my life as a high-maintenance city girl that I was used to. always getting my hair done, nails did, makeup done, and dolling up all the time. Surely the change was significant. However, there was something about the simplicity that piqued my curiosity and kept my interest. Perhaps it was the sacred energy that permeated the air, or it could be the captivating vibrations that drew me towards this humble way of life. It is possible that my intuition whispered of profound truth waiting to be unveiled. So I embraced the unfamiliarity with an open heart, allowing myself to surrender to the experience. Surprisingly, as the days unfold, I experienced a shift from discomfort to a profound sense of ease and tranquility settling deep within my being. During my first trip to India, I was more or less surrounded by a number of fellow tourists. However, this time I was surrounded predominantly by local Indians. As I entered the dining hall for the very first time, a wave of astonishment washed over me. Everyone sat gracefully on the floor, forming neat rows, each person in their cross-legged seated position. These dedicated volunteers carried large silver buckets brimming with hot, delicious Indian food. They meticulously scooped all vegetables and rice onto our plates. Some graciously handed us chapatis and papadums, their traditional Indian breads. After a collective chanting of prayers before eating, everyone began partaking in their meal. Curiously, I waited for the utensils to be distributed, planning to request them from the servers. However, to my surprise, I realized that everyone was already fully immersed in their food, using their bare hands. Specifically, their right hand to savor the flavors. Later, I discovered the deep cultural, social, and even religious significance behind this practice. It is believed that the sacred activities should be performed with the right hand while the left hand is reserved for less sacred tasks. I guess there's no need to explain that further, right? And though it initially felt awkward and even unhygienic, I decided to let go of my ego and give it a try. I just copied whatever they were doing and started mixing the curry with the rice and then scooping the food into my mouth. And strangely enough, it seemed to taste more delicious as I cultivated a deeper connection with the food before savoring each bite. Some of my classmates taught me that by using our bare hands, we can connect with the food on a sensory level as we experience the texture, the temperature, and the aroma in a more intimate manner. The act of touching the food stimulates the sense of touch, which enhances the dining experience and aids in better digestion. Moreover, it encourages us to be fully present during the meal, attentively enjoying all the flavors and sensations. If you've ever tried mindful eating, this is similar. We can foster a deeper connection with our food. Gradually, I found myself not only accepting the simplicity of this lifestyle, but I started embracing it wholeheartedly. A sense of freedom washed over me. It was a respite from the external world with all its demands, stresses, and complexities of work, relationships, and daily existence. Occasionally, a fleeting doubt would surface, questioning whether I was merely escaping from the real world. However, it didn't matter. I witnessed changes within myself. I no longer concerned myself with appearances. I stopped applying makeup, doing my nails, or even dressing up. Well, our uniforms didn't really give us a choice, but just the environment itself played a significant role in turning my focus inward, where I started to feel indifferent towards the external, the material, and the physical. You may have heard of the saying, there's no Wi-Fi here, but you will find a better connection. I absolutely agree with that, 108%. Without the connection of the outside, I finally experience a profound connection with myself. Throughout my life, I had always sought connection with others and with the world, which are undoubtedly important. However, no one had ever taught me the importance of turning inward and embarking on a journey of self-discovery. To find true equilibrium, I believe we need both, nurturing connections with others while fostering a deep understanding of our own being. Life, in its essence, is a delicate dance of balance. At the ashram, there was no access to email, so we had to venture into town to retrieve our messages. We had the opportunity to go out once a week. But as time went on, my desire for checking emails even diminished. The most I did was probably give my mom a call using the ashram telephone every few days to reassure her of my safety and well-being. I distinctly remember that after 2-3 weeks, the idea of going out on our day off didn't have any appeal to me at all. I didn't even want to go on the tours our teachers organize. Whenever I stepped outside, I felt bombarded, overwhelmed, and even dizzy by the external stimuli. Reflecting on this experience, I began to comprehend why intense practices are often cautioned against in city life, particularly when we have yet to learn how to control our energy or prana. The practice we were engaged in truly guide us towards an inner journey, leading us to find happiness within ourselves. I vividly recall the story that was shared during one of our evening gatherings, and it resonated with me on a profound level. Another one of those aha moments of spiritual awakening unfolded before me. The story revolved around a remarkably clever woman named Rabia. One evening, people noticed Rabia diligently searching on the street in front of her hut. Concerned, they gathered around her, eager to lend a helping hand. And they inquired, "What's the matter? What are you searching for?" With a calm demeanor, Rabia responded, "I have lost my needle." Instantly, they started helping. Curiosity sparked within the group and someone asked, "Rabia, the street is vast and the night is just descending. Furthermore, a needle is such a tiny object. Unless you tell us exactly where it has fallen, it will be difficult to find." And Rabia said, "Don't ask that. Don't bring that question up at all. If you wish to assist, please do so. Otherwise, don't help. Don't bring up that question." Taken aback, they stop their search and inquire, "What's the matter? Why can't we ask this? If you don't say where it has fallen, how can we be of any help to you?" Rabia gently explained, "The needle has fallen inside my home." Perplexed, they exclaimed, "Have you lost your mind, Rabia? If the needle has fallen inside your home, why are we searching out here?" With a serene smile, she replied, "Because the light is here. Inside my home, there's no light." Concerned yet determined, someone ventured further. "Even if the light is present here, how can we find the needle if it has not been lost here? The right way would be to bring light inside your home so we can find the needle." And Rabia, with a joyful laugh, exclaimed, "Oh, you clever beings, so adept at focusing on trivial matters. When will you apply your intelligence to your inner life? I have seen all of you searching outside, and I know from my own experience that what you seek is lost within. The very bliss you yearn for, you have lost inside." She continued, her voice gentle and compassionate, "Yet you persist in searching outside. Your reasoning tells you that since your eyes can easily perceive what lies beyond, and your hands can readily explore the external realm, you believe that is where you must search. But have you ever paused to ask yourself the most fundamental question? Where exactly have I lost it?" A radiant smile adorned Rabia's face as she shared, "If you truly possess intelligence, then use it wisely. Why do you seek bliss in the outside world? Is that where you misplaced it?" She elaborated, "I was searching for the needle merely to illustrate this truth. In reality, I had not lost my needle at all. You see, my dear friends, that is precisely what you are doing. I was simply following your example. And yet I perceive every individual searching outside for something without ever questioning if it was lost there. Ravia concluded, for the longest time, I too was engrossed in my outward search. However, the day I turned my gaze inwards, I was astounded. It was there within myself that I had lost it, and it is there and only there that it can be found. Upon hearing the story, I was struck with amazement. There was immense light and wisdom that enveloped me. It dawned on me that I was chasing happiness in all the wrong places throughout my life, only to discover that true fulfillment lay within. Rabia's story touched my heart deeply, igniting a newfound determination to navigate my inner world and illuminate the path for others to find their own lights within. Thank you for listening to Spirituality with Kayun. I hope this episode on finding inner happiness has inspired you to explore your inner world. Feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at Spirituality with K with your feedback, comments, questions, or suggestions. And if you enjoy this podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. The light within me bows to the divine light within you. Wishing you a beautiful day or evening wherever you are. Namaste, everyone.